Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Richard Geiger and Ken Seymour. And I bet you're ready for us to do a review of the new Venom film.
Ew.
But we're not going to.
Thankfully, question mark?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Sometimes you have the best of intentions. You want to do something in a very specific time frame, but through a combination of other responsibilities, unfortunate happenstances, and just a sheer lack of interest in watching a third Venom film in the theater.
So here's let's relate it, right? Okay. We'll usually have maybe 1 or 2 days that we can feasibly go to a theater and watch a movie.
Yep.
And this particular film had 2 showtimes. And that was it. On these days, the two showtimes.
Yeah, not the best choices. Now, we could have probably crammed it in at the end of a day, but after a long, hard day of grueling and intensive labor and doing other things that allow us to have the freedom to do this thing.
Yeah. Now, okay, let's put this in a different perspective. If the first 2 Venom movies were, like, really good and revolved around Spider-Man and Venom and maybe some other Spider-Man, you know, spider world things, yeah, we probably would have been like, yeah, we'll figure this out.
Yep. But,
you know, a movie that's just there to make money and not be cool, yeah, we wait.
Yeah. I think we did something very similar with another sequel just recently that we were going to review, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it. It's just going to be a little farther out. So instead, we're going to bring to you what we were already planning on bringing to you, just, you know, closer to the actual time where it makes sense to do it anyway.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about the end. We've already done this a little bit. We had the halfway point of Agatha all along, but let's talk about the end of the show and what we thought about it and where we think things are going and all that sort of stuff. So, obviously, little spoilers that are going to be coming throughout the course of the episode. If you haven't watched the entire season, you may not want to listen until you do so. But as a general non-spoilery thing, I think I can at least speak for myself, if not for the both of us, that it is well worth the watch.
It's a very good show. The first 7 episodes are very good. Draw you in, move you along, get the story going. And then I think 8 and 9 kind of, eh.
Oh, no. The 8 and 9 is the good stuff.
Eh. I felt like, I don't know. I felt not, you know, a lot of times when you watch some of the shows and the shows are okay, then you get to the end and the end feels rushed. Or like, mm-hmm. we have to conclude this, so let's just conclude a thing. I didn't get that vibe from the last two.
No.
That's not what I'm saying. It just after how good the first 7 were, 8 and 9 just to me had more of like a letdown. But I'm not saying they were bad. I'm just saying they weren't as good as the first 7. Let's put it that way.
Well, we'll dig into exactly why that is here in just a little bit. And you now have our general ideas. And now we're going to get into the nitty gritty. Now, as always, we already talked about how just wonderful the casting on this show is. And we had our theories about who would be what and how it would be revealed. And, you know, unsurprisingly, Joe Locke's character was Wiccan. Whoa, what a surprise.
Yeah.
Fun.
Explained
yeah.
how he came to that.
I'm really happy to see Jennifer Kale as a character because she's a fun comic book magic user. And I have a feeling, I have a theory of what I think they're going to do with her. It's just a sneaking suspicion.
Well, okay. I always ask these questions. So this is pretty generic. tell me more.
You mean about Jennifer Kale?
Yes. And then you can go into your suspicions as well.
Well, you know, Jennifer Kale is a magic user. So when you think about Marvel, you always think about the major magic user. You got your Doctor Strange, you got your Wanda Maximoff. Technically, Agatha Harkness falls into that range too. And then you sometimes have the next tiers down. You might have something like Shaman from Alpha Flight, or a Brother Voodoo ran Strange Academy as the principal of that school, but was also Sorcerer Supreme for a short period of time.
Baron Mordo, where's he at?
He kind of is like right below that Doctor Strange level of power, or not, you know. When you become Sorcerer Supreme, you gain a lot when you get the title, but you already had a lot to begin with, so it's kind of difficult to explain. But then you get people like Dr. Doom, who's incredibly mystically gifted and is the current Sorcerer Supreme. But that's, you know, a different thing. Now, Jennifer Kale, if you've never seen her, she's interesting. So basically, I think of her a lot like Shaman, basically, in the sense that she's got a good deal of power to begin with, but she has been around for a long time, like, just, you know, hundreds, thousands of years, that sort of a thing. So if you were somebody that were reading some of the outside characters that weren't quite as popular, they even show a little picture if you go to her Marvel database of the Man-Thing. She's one of those characters that's going to be around that sort of stuff. She may be dealing with Damien. Now I'm having a mental a Hellstrom. It's late and I'm old, and it's kind of one of those things, but. So, you know, she often has kind of those intersections with the outside things. She might interact with, like, the Conans or some of the other, you know, characters like that. But she's also been brought in to deal with people like Howard the Duck and Ghost Rider. And, you know, just apparently she was an X-Force ally. I missed that part. So, I mean, she's been all over the place, and she's got a decent amount of mystical power. So
if you need a magical-based character, but you don't need one to, like, dominate everybody, just as a there to represent.
Right. But here's the fun part. If you go far enough down the page, it'll start talking about the Initiative and the Midnight Suns, which is where I figured that she's going to be heading. I think they're setting up the Midnight Suns. I think that's where Blade will end up being. I think that's where they're going to do the... I think they will bring back Ghost Rider and things like that. And that will be... She'll be involved with that stuff, which could be a lot of fun.
Well, we've already seen some elements of some things that we thought might go that way. Darkhold, right? You know,
right. So yeah, it's well, I mean, and that's the thing. You know, I've been talking about this for a while, how I want to see the Darkhold Redeemers show up. You know, I feel like how you can't have that as an MCU show, it's perfectly themed for it. I mean, back in the day, I don't know if you ever saw the old Friday the 13th, the show. Did you ever watch that?
It was, I think it was in syndication. So I didn't, because it would have been a long time ago.
It was quite a while.
I think it was in syndication for me. So I didn't watch very much, if any of it. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. So the whole concept of that was real simple. You know, these people work in a shop, and they have a secret vault in the back where they go around and find cursed objects and stick them in the vault so it doesn't hurt anybody. So it was very episodic, and the cursed object was always something different, so you could always do something weird and fun. Well, that was the Darkhold Redeemers, like 100%. They were going around looking for pages of the Darkhold. So, you know, the whole thing is like, oh, she destroyed the Darkhold in every universe. You mean the book? Great. Did she destroy all the pages in the book? She didn't say it destroyed all the pages, so that's where my mind immediately went. She destroyed the book. Now the pages are loose.
So where are they? Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can say you destroyed a book, right?
Right.
Rip it in half and throw it out the window, and the pages go flying around.
Right. And she's powerful, but the person that made the book uses the same kind of magic that she does and is more powerful. And so it's hard. It's really hard to destroy that book. Like in the comics, I think the current version, it didn't work to be destroyed. I think Scarlet Witch like ate it at one point. It was internal. It's now a little boy that's walking around with some of the Academy students. That's what happened during that last vampiric big thing that happened with the blood with Blade and all the vampires and stuff. Yeah. So anyway, that's where I think that she's going to where she's going to be. And they've already introduced Man-Thing.
Yes.
In
Halloween last year. About a year ago. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, It would be really cool to see that be the direction they go with that. I would have a lot of fun with that. Sashir Zamata did a great job with that role and had some fun with it. The whole group just did so good.
It's nice of her to get her powers back at the end.
Yeah. Patty LuPone's episode that was mostly around her. And that hopping around through time, that was super cool.
That was very good. I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed the concept that she finally figured it out, but maybe too late or maybe just in time, just depending on how you want to view it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though she was seemingly killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's not, because she's now just living her life again. Over in a certain sense.
Yeah, so she found out when she was supposed to find out that was her destiny. It was written already. She just had to figure it out. And she needed to not know it until she knew it, because then if she knew it ahead of time, she wouldn't do it the same way.
That's it.
Wonderfully complicated. And of course, Aubrey Plaza's Rio Vidal. We had several ideas of who we thought that might be. It turned out to be one of them.
Yeah. Of one of the things that you mentioned, right, the cast and how great the cast was. If there was a weak spot, it was her.
You think so?
She portrays an awkward character, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of her thing.
Right.
I'm overstating that. But in this, she played a character awkwardly. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know if I'd go that direction.
I didn't buy it. Earlier on in the series, she was tolerable. But the last bit, I just didn't buy her. And I didn't believe her. And I didn't buy into her gesturing and her postures when she was doing things. It just looked forced and cheesy and not seamless. And her lines weren't exactly delivered all that spectacularly either.
Well, I think the lines were a little weird, a little odd. They're going to be hard to land. As far as cheesy, yeah, that's the show. It's going to be cheesy.
But it was supposed to have that little kick, right, of not cheesy. This is the part. Like, this is it. This is the thing, because bad things are happening and stuff. And it's just, I didn't buy it. I didn't buy her as that character.
Was she not enough of a traditional villain for you?
No, that's... as powerful as that character seemingly is, and showing up in this, the only reason that she's here is because of the Agatha character, period.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was something that was stolen from her, and she's here to get it back, right? That was kind of the whole purpose of it.
Yeah.
So I get all that. It's just, I didn't, even when they were showing the sequences of her, she's in the woods, and now she's coming to take the baby, and she's like, okay, I'll give you time. Like, I bought into that. It's just the other stuff in the modern times. I just didn't, there was something not believable or poorly acted that I got out of her performance in the last couple episodes.
I don't think so. I think she did it exactly the way she was supposed to, because the whole point is death in the comic is a cosmic being, very powerful. Not really good with human stuff. It doesn't understand really the interactions at a certain level. Knows what its purpose is, knows how to basically interact, but ultimately emotions don't work the same. The basis to expect it is not the same. So then those interactions, when she finds the attachments that she does and she develops the attachments, she doesn't know how to express things. And that, so yeah, she's very powerful. You know, well, Agatha wouldn't stand a chance against her. Yeah, she is trying. She wasn't really trying because she had that emotional attachment. So I think it played about the way that it needed to.
Well, the story I didn't have the problem with. It was simply the acting.
Yeah.
That's all. That no more, no less.
Yeah, no problem with that. We'll agree to disagree on that one. But I did laugh a little bit. It was like, oh, the first lesbian kiss. Well, technically, death doesn't have a sex. It's presenting itself as female, but it's not.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure they're gonna.
Oh yeah, it doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Yeah. But that's the first thing that just shows. No, that's less of a thing about the show. That's more of a thing about how my brain works, because I want to overanalyze everything and just unnecessarily in some instances. Like, no, just let it sit. It's fine. Nobody cares.
Well, obviously they had some type of relationship before that they didn't delve into too hardcore.
Yeah, but in the comics, death presented itself as female, but it's presented as male several times too. It fought Dracula as a male. So, I mean, just kind of depends what it wants to do.
I mean, it's an entity.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yes. We won't even get into M-bodies or any of that other stuff, how cosmic entities have to, what they have to do to appear physically in the universe, because they're not naturally supposed to be able to do that. But, yeah, all sorts of fun stuff. So, yeah, I mean, again, I thought everybody did a great job on their parts, and I thought that was a lot of fun. I think the thing that might be throwing you off at the end is whenever you watch a movie or a television show, the traditional mode of delivering that story is build up, build up, build up, build up, build up. At the last episode or last two episodes, that's the final giant confrontation, and then you get a little bit of denouement and that's it. Whereas this one just moved that confrontation back a little bit and spent some more time in the denouement, which I thought was great because it's character building, and that gives us a chance to not only understand the characters better, but to be able to build towards other projects and build interest on what they're going to be doing.
I didn't really have a problem with that. I don't know. It was just a different vibe, maybe. It was, I don't know. I liked that the road ending wasn't the road ending, but it was the road ending, right? Like that was fine. I like that. I like how they kind of brought it back to Earth. I like how they told this whole story, but then finally went backwards and then described how Agatha had made it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like how they delve into, well, the road manifested itself because that's the power of the teen, yeah. Right?
Wiccan has mad reality altering skills.
So I get that's great. That's cool. Like, you gave a reasonable explanation for all the things that had happened instead of BSing it. Fine. Cool. I appreciate that. No problems with that. I don't know. It was just, there was this weird stretch where I was just like, you know, all the other things I was invested in, I was watching and I was anticipating, but there was a stretch, you know, through the last part, like through 8 and 9, there was a stretch there where I was just like, okay.
Well, you mean
time is it?
The distinct lack of action? Is that what it was?
I guess that's part of it. And I don't mind storytelling. Trust me. I don't mind that. And I don't mind going backwards. I don't mind the emotion. I don't mind the reveal that the reason that the Jennifer Kale character didn't do anything for 100 years was actually Agatha. Not intentionally. But she was the reason. So, you know, once again, more story. We got all that stuff. I don't know. It just, the Agatha, what Agatha had to do was she had to have a fight to get her power back. And then she got her power back. And then she sacrificed herself or something or whatever it was. And now she's a ghost. It's just like, oh, okay.
It was character development, man. I mean, that's the whole point. So her entire life, the whole defining attribute of who she was, she got hurt when she was young by the people that should have been looking after her in the first place. And she took their power, unintentionally killing them, but then decided, it's like, you know what? This is how the world is. Fine. I'll kill them all. They're all like this. They're all false. They're all fake. I can't have a true relationship. The closest she gets is the child that she has. And even then, the child, to a certain extent, acts as a tool to help her do what she intends to do. She's given a gift by death to have that relationship over the course of several years, and then becomes bitter again and goes right back on the road that she created to kill more witches. So she's given a chance throughout the show to change the pattern. Unintentionally, she's about to go back. That was her intention. I'm going to absorb the powers of these witches again. I'm just going to start again. And then the road appears for real, and it gives her a chance to explore who she is and what is important to her. And she finally has somebody that she has a connection to that she likes enough that's like, all right, I've had time.
So, you know, hundreds of years, and this rando kid all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, I'm going to change what I've been doing for 400 years because of this person that I've suddenly interacted with.
Because it's going to be somebody. Whoever it is, in any major change, seems random from the outside when you look at a numbers game. But ultimately, it's always going to be somebody. Why not? And then they establish how he slowly just worms his way into her affections and good graces and trust. And also shows that he's got a backbone and isn't just a goody-goody. He's got a little bit of that fire in him too.
Yeah. And did we get out of this? We knew he knows who he is,
mm-hmm.
But it took him a while to figure out that he knew who he was. And did he finally figure out who he was before they went on the road or while they were in the road?
While. So, and then of course, through the urgings, we now know that his brother is somewhere out there. So he gets to go search for his brother, which would be good.
A speedster.
Yes.
So,
setting up some Young Avengers goodness.
Yeah, we've already had the seeds planted for the Young Avengers for multiple different things here. I thought I read somewhere that Jason Statham was going to show up in the Young Avengers, which doesn't make sense, but...
As their butler.
As the butler. So obviously they're working on something that's going to be post these next couple Avengers movies. And if you're going to do the Young Avengers, I guess, is that going to be like, so you can draw in a different crowd now? Maybe the people that love the Avengers when they were 8 and now they're going to be in their 20s. Let's do the Young Avengers. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, the Young Avengers stories were fun. I mean, they were good stories. So whether that's to draw in a younger crowd to watch the stuff or whether it's just have new stories to tell.
And we need new stories and new people. So like those and the, if they do the Midnight Suns and if they do the X-Men, I mean, we're...
We got a lot.
We got a lot of things to branch out for. So that part's good. So what is the point of the... of her being a ghost?
Well, I think the point of her being a ghost is to, one, be able to keep using Han as long as you can because she's awesome. And it will put her into a role as a teacher, which is really what she was in the comics in the first place, because they've already presented her in this other way. So they needed a way to get her into that role so that she could be where she needed to be for the other stories that need to be told.
Okay. So she can stay out of it, but she can still affect what's going on.
Right. I mean, because like in the comic books, she would watch the Scarlet Witch's kids when they went out superheroing. Her or a talking cow also sometimes did. Marvel Comics is weird. the High Evolutionary. We saw a little bit of that in one of the
Guardians
films. But so whole world of basically furries. It's a long story where Adam Warlock got to play Jesus, basically. It's weird. It's super weird.
Well, I mean, that character's still out there.
Well, Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock.
Oh yeah, they never introduced the cow though. So we'll see if they introduce Cow to Earth. I don't know if they will or not.
When you say you mean cow?
No, Counter Earth. So all these characters were on Earth, but it's just a different Earth that's on the opposite side of the solar system, directly opposite Earth, and it travels at the same speed, so we never see it. That's how the High Evolutionary did all of his experimentation. It's...
didn't we already see that, though?
No.
We don't know where that... they blew that planet up. We don't know where that planet was, though.
Yeah,
we don't...
Well, definitely wasn't in the solar system. I think that... I would say it's safe to assume that it wasn't there. But... and I have to admit, I don't... It was a different feel. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, but getting off into the weeds here. So I think, like I said, you know, set up a bunch of good stuff, trying to get back onto the road. I think the directors did a great job. Looks like an even split.
Yeah, 3 episodes a piece.
Yeah. So I have to admit, I'm very... very happy with how things turned out.
Well, you know, this has been a better year for Marvel projects, right? So we had X-Men, and then we had Deadpool Wolverine, and then we had this. So there are much better projects, and next year seems pretty solid, assuming the movies all play out like they hopefully can play out.
Yeah, I have to say I think that they're going in the right direction, and maybe they're just taking a different look at how they present things. The apparently, we weren't going to be getting Daredevil soon.
Yes, next year.
I cannot wait for that. But I saw some little bit of rumor about She-Hulk was originally going to be a cameo in the Deadpool film and got cut out because it didn't test well with screeners. And now there's supposedly some big beef between Tatiana Maslany and Ryan Reynolds, which I think is probably just BS.
Well, there are other things that got cut out too. You know, if it didn't test well, it didn't test well.
Right. And the people are trying to stir up gossip and rumors and trying to get those clicks. And it's like, man, just, I feel like the more I do this, the more I just want to go, shut up.
Well, here's the other thing too, right? So forever, because it's been Disney projects, all these things are PG, PG-13 maybe, right? You know, this one right here is very clean, good for anyone to watch. But when we say good for anyone to watch, at this point in time, are the 10-year-olds watching this stuff, right? The 10-year-olds that were watching the stuff before are 20-year-olds now,
mm-hmm.
right? Why do you think Deadpool and Wolverine was so popular, even though it was, quote, vulgar and bloody and bad things happening? Maybe that's the push for Disney, is that if you look at the Daredevil one, it's not going to be some little, PG thing. Maybe if we start getting that evolution to the Midnight Suns, where the Midnight Suns has the capability to be a little bit more, you know, creepier or a little bit more on the bad things can happen because of scary things type stuff. Maybe we'll see more of that lean more towards the heavy PGR, and maybe that will draw the fans back in. You know, if you're going to go with some more X-Men stuff and it's about hatred and overcoming, you know, that type of stuff and people getting killed because of their hatred, you know, like that's touchy stuff. Like, what are we going to see? Are you going to be more PG-13 R-rated stuff? And that's what's going to make the push to have people come back. I don't know.
I guess mainly what I'm saying is I would like to call on the community of fans and critics and anyone that wants to put their 2 cents into the bin, that putting your opinions in is fine, but how about doing it in a more positive fashion? Don't be the one that I want to be the first one that's going to predict that this thing will fail and fail hardest and be awful. Just stop. Don't do predictions. Watch the show or don't watch the show. And if you watch the show, tell people if you like it or you don't like it. Why?
Be honest.
And just be honest. And just, how about we create a better world rather than just this crap?
Yeah. It's unfortunate that this crap is what draws people in.
Yeah, well, we can change that, though. We can be the voice. We can be the positive. Push the positive and don't click on the negative, because it's not the new year yet, but I think that's going to be my before New Year's resolution. It's like anything that wants to play on negative emotions, screw you. You get nothing.
Stay off of X.
Can't really do that, but I won't respond to anything. I won't.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
No clicks, no looks, no nothing. If you can't, I mean, it's not to say you can't respond to something that's a serious thing, but if it's purely there to be negative, to troll, to disparage, to tear apart, you need a better hobby. Stop it. Go away.
We've got, 3 Marvel projects. All in the first half of the year, basically.
Right.
So we'll get a little opportunity to people put their 2 cents in for sure.
Let's celebrate the cornucopia that we have.
I'm going to have a Red Hulk, man.
It's gonna be fun.
Wish Samson would show up, Doc Samson.
Yeah, me too. And I think it would be really amusing if they got the same actor from the Hulk film to play him. Seeing him in the equivalent of like Hawaiian shirts and cutoffs with the giant, with the CGI, because he's got to be like 7 feet tall, and Awesome. Green hair. He would look so ridiculous.
It's just he's probably a universal property, and they're not going to give it up still. Something stupid like that.
Maybe so, but you know, there's ever the hope. But so, what did you think? This is a kind of a short and sweet one, fans. Did you love the show as much as I did? Did you love it more like Richard did, where it's like I really kind of liked it.
I mean, overall, it was very good.
Or did it stick in your craw? Did they change something from the original source material or whatever? We always love to hear what you have to say. As he mentioned, we're on X, kind of. We're also on Facebook, and we're on, I'm sure we're on LinkedIn at this point. I don't know. Maybe not.
Probably not.
But maybe we'll branch out, go into another. Maybe that's what we should do
TikTok.
For the new year. We'll bring in a new social media platform of some kind to add yet another thing that we don't really put anything onto all that often.
Yeah, we have to participate if we're going to do TikTok or something like that.
Yeah, we'll come up with a plan. But until then, continue to watch some TV. Enjoy yourself. Make everyone's lives a little better around you.